Only smart people get up early enough to listen to the Francine Marie Show. So thanks for listening, smarty pants.
Good morning, campers! Pick up your coffee cup, make a cup of tea, pour yourself a beer. Hair of the dog, it's the Francine Marie Show!
Good morning, thanks for joining us. Many of us use social media because it helps tell the story of what we just did. We drank some coffee, look at me. I ate potato chips, ooh, they were crunchy. How about an app that will help you tell your story? If you're a nonprofit, if you're a for-profit, Tamara Parks is our guest today. She's the CEO and co-founder of Story Now. She's a believer that great stories can change the world. She also says that we, you and me, are wired for stories. Our bodies and minds engage in a chemical cocktail when we hear a moving story. So let's give it up and welcome Tamara Park. She's the CEO and co-founder of the app I've been talking about called Story Now. Good morning.
It's wonderful to be here with you, Francine.
When I heard about your app, I said, where is she? Is she in the country? Can she come by the studio? I can't do a phoner with her. I need to be up front with her. No one came up with this idea before.
It's been so, so fun. I have gotten to interview people around the world. I've worked on five continents, and in that process have just seen nonprofits pull off Herculean things every day. And so few of them had a film crew or a television crew to show up and get to do the stories that I've gotten to do. And so I just started, you know, brainstorming, how do we help democratize storytelling and how do we get more and better stories out into the world? And so that's really what drives me.
You've helped some nonprofits so far.
You know, it's been a gift. This fall, we actually piloted it with Wells Fargo Foundation and got to really embrace what's going on in the Queen City. We have an international vision, but we've gotten to work with about 50 nonprofits over the course of the last couple of months just to pilot it and get great stories out. What does it take to really get a good story? You know, I really think it starts with just pulling back and going, who are the heroes in our midst? And that's what, Francine, we're all, I think, living these stories that can have impact. It can enlarge how we understand the world. I know when you interview people again and again, you're getting your world expanded by their stories. And I know I'm, you know, get my world expanded by yours and by others. And so I think when we stop and go, who are the heroes in our midst and how do we see and celebrate their stories? Then I think we're postured to really start becoming a storytelling culture. And that's what I long for nonprofits to claim and reclaim, this art of storytelling, because I do believe, yes, it's going to help you raise donations and resources, but I really believe that story has the power to advance your mission, to help you really see transformation happen in your midst. That's ultimately what I'm about and what Story Now is about, is how do we use the art of storytelling to actually see growth, to see movement in people's lives and in our city's lives and in the world's life.
For people to understand your story.
Yes.
If you know the full story and don't stereotype.
When we stereotype, when we sidestep really hearing somebody else's story, we shortcut answers and we actually, I think, sabotage better solutions and better opportunities to move forward. So I think you're exactly right.
So my storytelling show, I'll claim that.
Yes.
I tend to interview more nonprofits than for-profits.
Story Now, we're helping nonprofits as well as health and wellness tell video stories really in this 2 to 3 minute framework. We're doing some from like 30 seconds to 3 minutes because people's attention span is so short. Now, what I found so intriguing is that actually story captures our attention, our emotion, cuts through the distractions like few others. And if you're game, I'd love to share a little bit of the neuroscience behind that.
Because you say we're wired.
We are wired for story. Our bodies, our brains actually transform when we hear a good story. So when I hear your story and I connect with you, I actually release oxytocin. I release that bonding drug that a mother releases when she is nursing her baby. It's that powerful when I connect with you, when I experience your fear, if you're going through a challenge and I'm locked into you, I can actually release cortisol. I can be anxious and nervous for you. When you experience resolution in your story or growth in your story, I can release dopamine. So we lock in. There's this chemical cocktail that happens when we really get captured by another person's story. And this, check this out, and this is great with nonprofits, is when I see, when I'm listening or see a story of good, the same receptors in my brain light up as if I was doing that good. And when I see that, so it's as if my body chemistry is being changed by the good that somebody else is doing when I watch a video story of that. And then I'm actually more generous on the back end of that. So when we tell these stories of growth, of movement, of good, it's not only great for getting our message out, it has a transforming effect when we actually tell our story and we sense that it's being held, that it's being honored. And so can I tell you how I first kind of keyed into this anecdotally is I spent a year and a half interviewing women who had been trafficked, sex trafficked in the U.S. and Southeast Asia. And Francine, when I would talk to them at the beginning of their interview, often they were slouched and their voice was soft. And then when they would start to tell me about their resilience and when they got a sense of their own courage that they had not only survived, but that they were moving forward, I would see their posture straighten. I would see their, demeanor soften. I would see just the strength happen in them. And it just motivated me. And I was so inspired by, what these women had experienced and that they still had a vision for contribution. And to me, that was just economy of redemption, that this grace, that all of this pain that they experienced could be transformed to purpose. But it's been so fun to find out neurologically there was something happening there as well. And so when you tell your story and you feel like, I'm being heard, my story has meaning, purpose, you're actually growing more neural pathways in your brain as you're saying that, and you're able to actually move forward in your story. And so that really at the core, what intrigues me with story is transformation. I love that we get to grow in life, that we're not stuck in our mistakes and our brokenness, that we actually get to learn and get to contribute. In a moment, we can walk through this story structure that I've developed and love inviting nonprofits through. But I really believe all of us are invited into a story of growth, this journey of transformation. When we experience the hard things, it's invitations to greater growth. And if we can understand our story within that interpretation and that invitation, nothing is wasted. Nothing is wasted. It's compelled me on my own story. I've been on a journey as an entrepreneur for 5 years, and it's meant that my belongings have been in storage for 5 years. Hopefully the moving truck comes this week, but it's called upon sacrifice, but realizing that every time I sit with someone and hear their story, whether it's a refugee that has just come from Syria that I've, interviewed on the shores of Greece, or whether it's a single mom that has had to fight for housing for her and her daughter in Charlotte, I feel like I gain courage. I gain resilience. They've invested in me, and I wouldn't be here without the stories of others.
Wells Fargo Foundation is one of the heroes that came
They are. They've been amazing to really want to invest in the nonprofits in our city and do capacity building through storytelling. And, Francie, I just moved back to Charlotte this past year, and it's great to be back. And the city has grown and changed so much, but it's been such a joy to just find out all of this good going on in our city. Our city has a lot of challenges, especially like with affordable housing, and the growth has created these obstacles for a lot of people. But nonprofits in our city are coming together and actually investing in the heroes in our midst. And talk about how that plays out. So I really encourage nonprofits to realize is they are not the hero of this story. And that can feel like really kind of hard news at the beginning and can be humbling. But I think it's great news. If you're a nonprofit, the heroes in your midst are those you serve, are your volunteers, are your staff, and are your donors. You've got this whole community of heroes in your midst that you get to tell the stories for. And here's the deal. People connect with people. They don't connect with these organizations or a structure or a company. They connect with people. And so when we tell the stories of the heroes in our midst, especially those that we have the privilege of serving, then we get to come alongside and be the growth guide. So first of all, it's determining who your hero is. So if you're a nonprofit, it's those you serve, it's your staff, your volunteers, or it's your donors. And then it's disruption that starts your story. So the first thing that you begin with your story is disruption. And that is, like in film theory, this is the inciting incident. This is, you know, the catalytic moment. But really at the core is there's something that's happened in your hero's life that has turned their sense of normal upside down. Their life could be good or could be hard, but it was the status quo and it was what they were living. And then something enters in and their world can never be the same again. And so that's the disruption. And so when you're telling a story, and if you're telling the story of someone you serve, you need to help them identify what has happened in their life that's going to set them on this journey that ultimately is going to take them to your nonprofit. So you identify the disruption. So let's talk about a story that we got to, and you just got to see the video, but I had the privilege of meeting a really inspiring woman named Dominique that is working with a nonprofit called Community Link. And Dominique had this vision of wanting to give her daughter a better life. She moved to Charlotte from a really hard situation somewhere else to give her daughter a better life. And she thought that she would have the safety net of family and just some friend support where she could just live there, get her feet on the ground and get going. Well, that safety net wasn't as strong as she thought. She got here and she didn't have a place to stay. And so that was the disruption. She wants to give her daughter a better life, but she doesn't have a safety net. So then you identify the desire. And for Dominique, we've told like the specific desire is like she wants to give her daughter a better life. She wants to find housing, a safe place. And so when you're helping someone identify their desire, and I would say while disruption starts your story, it is desire that defines your story. And I think we do not ask ourselves, we do not ask the people we serve, the people we love enough. What do you want? What do you really want? And I believe desire takes two forms. There is the very specific desire, just the concrete external desire that someone has. They want housing. But what is that internal universal desire? And that's the second desire that, you know, maybe the people listening right now have no idea what it is to be on the brink of homelessness or have experienced it. But I bet they can resonate with that desire of wanting to provide a safe place for those that they love, for their daughter or for a partner or for someone in their life, that you want security and safety for those you love. And we can all resonate and find ourselves in that story. You know, whoever I'm working with, they have their own specific story and we need to help them identify what they want. But what is that emotional, that intersection that I can find myself in their story? Because their story is going to inspire me and I need their story and they need mine. It's been a fascinating journey, especially the last 5 years where I thought all of those things were a given in my life until I was working for a great production house that couldn't make their business model work and found myself laid off. Those questions I never asked before suddenly became realities. You know, in that idea of job security or control, you know, I just assumed that I would just always be moving forward. And so, you know, hearing the stories of people who are really acquainted with struggle, one, I think it helps us realize that we're not alone. A big believer that community creates capacity. And so when we like let ourselves have this community of stories and listen to other people's stories, we gain capacity because we never know what the day is going to bring. You never know.
False sense of security, sometimes that is spelled out J-O-B.
Yeah. Right.
A false sense of, wow, I have security, but I really don't. Or I'm good for 2 weeks. Right? Most people are good for 2 weeks.
Right, right.
Knock on wood, nothing really, really bad happens.
Yeah. Disruption starts our story. Desire defines our story. And then it's conflict that drives our story. And that's, you know, that is a whole lineup of what we're talking about there. But we, you know, with Dominique, she wanted a safe place to live. She wanted affordable housing and a safe place for her daughter. And what are the obstacles? Well, in Charlotte, with our affordable housing crisis, you know, Dominique was working 3 jobs as a single mom and found herself living in a shelter and, you know, saying, if I'm working minimum wage at $725 and a 2-bedroom apartment is for rent is $1,200, how do I make this work? And so when we're looking at telling the stories of conflict, we want to look at, once again, what are the external challenges? What are the obstacles that our hero is facing? I would say being able to spotlight these obstacles really, I think, cracks open better conversations. Like, I wasn't thinking about minimum wage and the average rent in Charlotte was completely at odds until I heard Dominique's story. So what are the, you know, external obstacles? And then what are the internal obstacles? We all face self-sabotage, you know, like, let's name all the things you're facing, all the things that are hard, the fears and the disappointments that could be holding you back. And, you know, there's such a power of just inviting someone to name obstacles, isn't there? I don't know if you've ever gone through a process of just thinking about dreams and then actually naming what you're facing.
And that comes to the next point, the growth. How can you grow in pain?
Well, exactly. Exactly. I think ultimately our stories are growth stories, are invitations to growth. But we focus on the conflict because conflict really serves the hero in 2 ways that helps them on their journey. The greater the stakes, the harder the conflict is, the greater the hero has to determine, do they really want what they want? Do they really desire that? And how hard are they going to fight for that? So, you know, when you've got this lineup of conflict, you see the strength of a hero's desire. And then you see if they're willing to go through that whole lineup of conflict, then you're going to see really the intensity of their resilience, the magnitude.
Right. When the rubber hits the road, you're going to see what you are made of.
Exactly,
Francine.
And you
thought you were made of something, you thought you were strong.
Exactly. But are you willing to move through that? The second part of the conflict is, in psychological terms, it's helping crack open the difference between the true self and the false self. And what are your assumptions about yourself? And when you face those hard things, what is the truth about yourself? And that's that opportunity to grow, where you, as the hero, get to make these choices and changes to show up to that desire and to move past conflict. So that's the opportunity that the hero has to make choices and changes. But here's the beauty, and this is where nonprofits come in, is that the hero doesn't have to make those choices and changes alone. They make them. But the nonprofit gets to come along as the growth guide and comes along when that hero is stuck or when there's limitations and says, I'm going to give you options. I'm going to give you opportunities. I'm going to give you insights and resources that will help move you past those challenges that you couldn't on your own. The hero shows up to it all, but the growth guide, the nonprofit, says, you need a little help. You need some rent assistance as you, you know, get that full-time job that's going to be better paying than minimum wage. We're here. We will stand beside you. We will empower you and strengthen you as you show up and reveal your resilience and make those good choices. And so that's where your nonprofit comes in. And then finally, there's the call to action. And I believe every story is an invitation. How hard am I going to fight for those I love? How much am I willing to push through to see that those that I care for are safe, are protected? Francie, what a joy to just get to share with you about story. And
I got to know more about your travels for 5 years. Was it all international?
You know, my first television series, I trekked from Mozambique to Morocco, interviewing African leaders on what the West could learn from them. And yeah, so I've worked just even in the last 5 years on five continents, from interviewing refugees in the Middle East and Europe to Cuban entrepreneurs. And
I love on your website, she has got her bags packed and she's got them in her hand. And you have a blog as well. So if we go to Tamara, T-A-M-A-R-A, park.com, we can see this fabulous CEO and co-founder of Story Now.
Yes.
So in a nutshell, Story Now allows nonprofits to put their heroes or sheroes in the front of a camera with an app to tell a good story.
Yeah, and I would say, if you don't mind, Francie, really our larger vision is to really help nonprofits as well as the health and wellness create storytelling cultures. So while we have customized apps that our creative agency and production house in the phone, we do consulting, we do training, we say how to use the power of story, this framework that we just went through, to advance your mission, to see growth in those that you serve, to actually have better problem-solving skills, to do resilience building. We've been working with a large NGO of how do you use storytelling to do resilience building to counter terrorism, to go into vulnerable communities so that people aren't radicalized. How do you use it to actually build encouragement and resilience for those that are experiencing depression and anxiety and insomnia? So, you know, at the core, we help people say, what is your mission? What do you want to achieve? And how do we use the power of story to help you do that? We're working internationally, but Charlotte's our hometown. We're so excited to be here and really want to invest in the nonprofits and companies in our city. So it's great to be here.
Our guest, Tamara Park, she says that we are wired for story. Our bodies and minds engage in a chemical cocktail when we hear a moving story. I can say that a good story is a great drug.
I love it. You
right?
got it.
Right?
Exactly.
Right?
Can I quote you?
Yes. Yes. All right. Tamara, T-A-M-A-R-A, park.com.
It's the Francine Marie Show. We're taking a break. So before you can wipe your bum, we'll be right back. This is my jam and jelly, y'all, on the Francine Marie Show. Spread that show out, girl. Spread it out.
Please, please do not harm us. We have come to your planet for one thing, the Francine Marie Show. It's the only content we can digest.